Good morning. We've been doing a sermon series on the book of Daniel. And if you remember what we've been through with the book of Daniel, we discovered that Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah and he took away the people of Judah, many of them, back to Babylon as captives. And amongst them was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they were taken into the king's service. If you remember in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel interpreted the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and as a consequence, Daniel was made a ruler over the province of Babylon, and Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were also given important positions in Babylon. Daniel 2 verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now in Daniel chapter 3 there's a major problem that is caused by Nebuchadnezzar for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar builds a giant golden image and he invites all his officials to come to the dedication of the image that he had set up. Not only were his officials invited to come and see the image, but the people in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom were commanded to bow down before it and even worship the image. Daniel 3 verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. The image was 90 feet tall by 9 feet wide. And in metric, the image was nearly 27.5 metres by nearly 2.8 metres. Daniel 3 verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the councillors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the councillors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Now there were perhaps thousands of Jews in Babylon at this time, and the Jewish people were faced with a dilemma. If the Jews were to go by the word of God, then no Jew could bow down or worship before any image. Back in Jewish history, Moses had previously given laws, God's laws, to the Jewish nation. And we find in Exodus 21, we find there the scriptures relating to idolatry. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Nebuchadnezzar's officials and the people were to bow or burn. The choice was simple as far as Nebuchadnezzar was concerned. Daniel 3 verse 7, "Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. So that was the problem. Nebuchadnezzar requiring people to bow down before his idol. Secondly, we see the persecution. The Chaldeans were the wise men of the day, and they came to Nebuchadnezzar and informed him that there were three Hebrews that would not obey the king's commands. And we see that in Daniel 3, verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These young men were different from their peers. Now it appears that all the officials of the kingdom were willing to bow down before Nebuchadnezzar's idol, but not Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Now at this time we're not sure where Daniel was. He was like the prime minister of Babylon. He'd been made the ruler over the whole province of Babylon. You see that in Daniel 2, verse 48. Daniel may have been away on official duties, but we know that Daniel would not have bowed. Now, back in Daniel 1, verse 8, we know his character, because in Daniel 1, verse 8, he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine. He stood in opposition to that which would defile him. You know, I think one of the greatest needs of our generation is men and women that will stand for God's word despite the opposition. We need men and women whose lives are governed by the scriptures and who will not compromise when an opportunity to compromise comes their way. Christians today are being pressured to compromise in so many ways. As our world grows increasingly ungodly, we are being pressured on many angles to adopt the world's standards. Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We're not to conform to the world, but we are to be transformed by God's word. Nebuchadnezzar had erected a great idol for his people to see. Now, what's an idol today? Well, an idol is anything that you serve more, revere more, love more, fear more, and even trust more than the Lord. Idols abound everywhere in our society. Whatever is first place in your life apart from the Lord is your idol. It is possible today to have money as your idol. It's possible to have your job as your idol, or your studies might be your idol, or your family might be your idol. You can make an idol out of your husband. You can treat your body as an idol. There are some people that their whole life is taken up with the worship of self. Think about today. We are being bombarded day and night in the media with fear in regards to the coronavirus. And so the coronavirus and the fear of it has become an idol for multitudes of people. Christians are even becoming obsessed with self-preservation in regards to the coronavirus instead of trusting the Lord at this time. King Asa in the Bible got a disease, but he did not seek the Lord and he died. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 12, "And Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. The coronavirus can become an idol in people's lives. An idol is anything that you revere more, serve more, love more, trust more, and even fear more than the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." If you examine the history of Israel prior to the Babylonian captivity, they fell into the sin of idolatry again and again. Things took the place of God. And it's possible for God's people to have idols today. I think a lot of our idolatry in Australia is clothed in what is popular today, and we are inclined to accept it if we're not careful. Mankind is constantly tempted to put something in the place of God. In Daniel chapter 3, the faithfulness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to God brought the attention of the enemy. They would not bow to the idol of the day. The lives of the three Hebrew young men were now at great risk. You know, there are still Nebuchadnezzars today demanding people worship that which is not of God. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were public servants of the king in high positions, but when the king's law crossed God's law, they would not obey. I believe that the general rule for believers is to submit to government authorities. When Jesus was questioned over taxes to Caesar, Jesus said in Mark 12, verse 17, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." 1 Peter 2, verse 17, but Peter tells the early church, "Honour all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king." Now, whilst I say that we should submit to government authorities, that's the general rule for believers, there are times that we are called to obey God rather than governments. We are called to obey God rather than man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not obey the king because his wishes were contrary to God's wishes. God never wants his people to yield to sin in their obedience to government authorities. Let me give you a few examples. In the book of Exodus, we find the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was the government of the day, and he was afraid of the population increase of the Jewish people in Egypt. He ends up issuing a decree for the murder of the Jewish babies. Exodus 1 verse 15, "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah, and the name of the other Puah, and he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. The Jewish midwives here deliberately chose not to obey the government. God's laws took precedent over man's laws for them. And at the risk of their own lives, the brave Jewish midwives would not defile their consciences with murder and the breaking of God's laws. They would not obey the will of man over the will of God. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel himself disobeyed authority when he prayed three times, as was his custom, which is against King Darius's decree. In the book of Acts, the power of God was working in the early church, and Peter and the apostles were preaching and healing people, and people were getting saved. In Acts chapter 4, the actions of the apostles upset the Jewish authorities. Acts 4 verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. When Peter and the apostles were brought before the Jewish council in Acts chapter 5, we read here in verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The scriptures teach that we should pray for those in authority. We should pray for the government, 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 2. But sometimes it's impossible for Christians to submit to those in government. And there are times that we need to obey God rather than government. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego obeyed God rather than government when the government imposed on them a law that was contrary to the word of God. They stood against the government of the day. Daniel 3 verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar gave them a chance to avoid the fiery furnace. He wanted to negotiate with them. These were young men that excelled in his kingdom, and I'm thinking that he didn't want them to die. And so he has this negotiation. And basically the negotiation is bow or burn. Now there were temptations here for the Hebrew young men. The temptations were disobey the word of God in favour of the king's commands. Secondly, commit idolatry in order to save their lives. They knew the Ten Commandments. Idolatry is not only the worship of false gods, but idolatry is also the worship of an image in the place of God. I originally came from a Catholic background, brought up in the Catholic Church, and we had statues that represented Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and very much there is idolatry in the Roman Catholic Church. When I became a Christian, I realised it was wrong for me to have statues. And so I had some crucifixes and different things, and I got them out of my life. That was my conviction. A statue of Jesus does not represent Jesus, because we do not know what Jesus looked like. It is not an accurate representation of Jesus. And there's a danger with statues. And the danger is that people will pray before them. Go into Catholic churches and you will see people praying before images of Mary and images of Jesus, images of Joseph. That is idolatry. We must be aware of idolatry. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego knew the Ten Commandments, and they knew that idolatry is not only the worship of false gods, but idolatry is also the worship of an image in the place of God. When Jesus met that woman at the well, we have the story in John chapter 4, and you read verse 24, and these are the words of Jesus: God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So these young men had a number of temptations: disobey the word of God in favour of the king's command, commit idolatry in order to save their lives. Thirdly, another temptation was that they could have been tempted to retain their positions amongst royalty, even for the sake of the nation. But in order to do that, they needed to bow before an idol. There would have also been peer pressure. Other Jews may have said to them, just do it. Just think of the influence you could have on Babylon alive rather than dead. So let me go over those temptations that they may have faced. Disobey the word of God in favour of the king's command. Commit idolatry in order to save their lives. Another temptation would have been to retain their jobs, their political positions amongst the royalty of Babylon, even for the sake of the Jewish nation. But in order to do that, they had to bow before an idol, so they couldn't do that. And fourthly, there would have been peer pressure. Perhaps other Jews, and it's thought there could have been up to 70 Jewish young people, Jewish men that had been taken into the Babylon to serve in the king's palace. So there could have been numbers of other Jews, other Hebrews, that tried to influence them to just give in. Other Jews may have said to them, just do it. Just think of the influence you could have on Babylon if you stayed alive rather than being put to death. Daniel 3 verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, their words remind me of the words of Job. Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. The king and the Babylonian nobles were against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If they stood for God's truth, then it meant that they would burn in the fire, and they were willing to burn. They were willing to accept that form of execution. You know, success in the Christian life is living in obedience to God and his word despite the cost. These men displayed both courage and confidence in the face of death. Daniel 3 verse 19, Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I want you to notice something. God met them in the fiery furnace. God preserved them in their difficulty. Daniel 3:24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counsellors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Their obedience did not keep them from difficulty. Their obedience did not keep them from being sentenced to be executed. But I want you to notice that God was in the difficulty with them. God spoke through Isaiah to the nation of Israel about 150 years before. And Isaiah said this, Isaiah 43 verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. The Lord had promised that he would be with his people through the rivers and even through the flames. Daniel 3 verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Can I say for Christians, in the wildest storms, in the deepest floods, in overwhelming sorrows, and in the fiery furnaces that test our faith, he is always with us. It was not till they were thrust into the fiery furnace that they then saw the Son of God. I think Christians experience some of the deepest fellowship with the Son of God and his people in the midst of their fiery trials. It is in the storms of life and in the overwhelming floods that often we get the clearest vision of the Son of God and of his care and of his love for us. It was through the furnace that they found true freedom. You talk to believers and you'll find that difficult times often have drawn them close to the Lord. Talk to believers and they'll indicate that I've come closer in my faith to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the storms and the trials and the difficulties that I've gone through in my life. Daniel 3:25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The only thing that was burnt in the fire was what bound them. Their clothes did not even smell of the fire. Many years before, Moses had given a great promise to Joshua in the sight of all of Israel that indicated also that the Lord would be with his people. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You know, faith sometimes takes you to the furnace. By not bowing, they were sentenced to burning. They were undeterred by the king's command. They were unbending towards anything but God. They were unbound in the furnace. Undeterred, unbending, unbound. Something else, God was unveiled to the view of others. Nebuchadnezzar sees one in the fiery furnace that has the appearance of the Son of God. It is through our trials that God is often illuminated to the lives of others. Daniel 3, verse 25, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counsellors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Nebuchadnezzar then makes a proclamation, Daniel 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." He makes a proclamation. And then we see Nebuchadnezzar gives a promotion, Daniel 3, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Those young Hebrew men are great models for us. They would not compromise with the world, but lived by God's word. Our ultimate example of one that would not compromise is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ never bowed to sin. Jesus was tempted to sin, but never, ever did he. Matthew 4, verse 4, when Jesus was tempted, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let me pray. Lord God, give us a faith in the furnaces that you allow us to go through. Help us and others to have a clear vision of the Son of God. Lord, help us not to compromise our consciences or our convictions, and help us to stand for you against the idols of this world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.